Wow. Jennifer's coverage of this can be found every Friday in College Radio Watch at radiosurvivor.com for the College Radio Watch dated December.
Shannon,
Emily,
and Hannah, and you're listening to 90.7
FM
WGXC
Acra.
Podcasts get made locally at WGXC.org, as all WGXC's locally produced programs can be subscribed to and found in all the usual podcasting places. Tune in for a mind-expanding radio from local news to a travelogue of sounds, either live at 90.7 FM or anytime at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jeff Moore of Copic, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Amanda Purcell reports for Columbia Green Media that the Columbia County Board of Supervisors voted down the appointment of Democrat Virginia Martin as County Election Commissioner. Martin has held the job for over a decade, but it took the county over a month to officially release results of this November's elections. Only Maria Lull of Chatham, Art Basin of Ankrum, and Peter Sipkowski of Hillsdale backed Martin's nomination for Election Commissioner. Quote, I think we as a board have no choice but to look at a full restructure at our board of elections based on the results of this last election, unquote, Gallatin Town Supervisor John Riley said. Martin beat eight other Democrats at a November 25th meeting of the Columbia County Democratic Committee, receiving 52.8% of the second ballot vote against Aaron Stamper's 47.1%. Now Democrats have until the end of the year to put up a new nomination. The Board of Supervisors has 30 days after that to approve the nomination. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
William J. Kimball is reporting for the Daily Freeman. In a show of force, town, county, and state law enforcement agencies descended on Joseph and Rachel Carroll's debris processing operation early on December 12th in an effort to shut down the business. The town has banned dumping at the Route 212 site, and a state Supreme Court justice last week lifted a temporary injunction that stopped the ban from being enforced. Police arrested one driver for unlicensed operation of an 18-wheel truck, turned away another loaded with debris, and warned the Carrollers that no further dumping would be tolerated. Saugerties Police Chief Joseph Sinigara said he and Ulster County Sheriff Juan Figueroa told Joseph Carrollers, and I quote,
that if he accepts any more loads, he will be arrested and charged with the misdemeanor of operating an unlicensed dump, end quote. Senegara said the truck that was impounded was overweight and had numerous violations. The fine could be in the neighborhood of $50,000, he said. Several witnesses said trucks from companies that routinely bring debris to the Carolus' business were seen getting on the thruway in Socrates after apparently being alerted of the presence of law enforcement at the dump site. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Kenneth C. Crow II reports for the Times Union that Rensselaer County Executive Steve McLaughlin called for a review of the county's Child Protective Services office days after the death of a six-week-old under CPS care. Quote, "We invite a review of county CPS responses and will cooperate fully and promptly with any review by OCFS," unquote, McLaughlin said in a statement. He wants the State Office of Children and Family Services to review the county office's operations and said he will conduct an internal review of the county's Child Protective Services. Eli Ojeda Harmon died December 3rd in Cohuys, after allegedly ingesting methamphetamine. Child Protective Services was overseeing the child because the mother moved to Troy and was not caring for the infant, and the child had recently had a possible skull injury and broken ribs. But CPS officials had not visited the child since October 29th. Anthony Ojeda, who claimed to be the child's father, was charged with second-degree manslaughter and second-degree assault. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
MidHudsonNews.com is reporting Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan, December 12th, signed the county's $342 million 2020 budget. The spending plan includes a 0.25% decrease in property tax levy. Ryan said, and I quote, "People want us to hold the line on taxes, which we did," end quote. The budget addresses the county's opioid epidemic and creates an economic development department. The budget also funds a newly created Green Career Academy with SUNY Ulster to help county residents train for green jobs. County Legislature Chairwoman Tracy Bartels credited the partnership between Ryan and lawmakers for making new initiatives possible. And you can read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that the State Department of Health extended New York's ban on flavored vaping products December 12th. The ban was announced in September for 90 days and was set to expire this weekend. But enforcement of the ban has not happened yet, as the Vaping Association won a delaying court order in its challenge of the ban. Quote, "So while we remain optimistic that we will prevail in court, we need to have the emergency regulations approved for an additional 90 days. So when we do prevail in court, we'll be able to move immediately to begin enforcing those regulations," unquote, said Brad Hutton, the Deputy Commissioner for Public Health at the DOH. Also on December 12th, Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration announced they will require health insurers to provide coverage for vaping cessation. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
The Times Union is reporting the body of 29-year-old William Amato of Elizaville has been found on property belonging to Dutch Hollow Farm in Stuyvesant. Amato was reported missing December 5th by his family. His body was found December 12th. Sheriff David P. Bartlett said, and I quote, "At this time, it does not appear that there is any foul play with the death of Mr. Amato. However, the investigation is continuing, and the sheriff's office investigators are awaiting the autopsy results," end quote. And you can read the full story in the Times Union.
Diane Valden reports for the Columbia paper that the Copaic Planning Board voted December 5th to close the public hearing on the proposed gas station on the northwest corner of State Route 23, County Route 7, and Curryville Road. The GRJH Incorporated application has been before the Planning Board for more than 2 years, with many local residents objecting to the proposal on environmental grounds. Bob Height, Steve Severis, Marsha Becker, and Julie Cohen all voted to end the public participation in the process, while John Urban, Ed Salchuk voted to continue public comment, and Chris Grant was absent. The Copaic Planning Board meets next at 7 p.m. January 2nd. Read more about the story in the Columbia paper.
Chris Bragg is reporting for the Times Union. The Government Justice Center has filed a suit on behalf of Robert Arrigo, leader of the Saratoga County Libertarian Party, in state Supreme Court in Albany, arguing the raises given to Governor Andrew Cuomo and Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul this year were illegal.
The lawsuit also seeks to stop additional pay hikes the pair is scheduled to receive in 2020 and 2021. The Justice Center named Comptroller Tom DiNapoli as the respondent because his office paid the allegedly illegal increased salaries. The case is based on the provision in the state constitution that says salaries of state officers, such as the governor and lieutenant governor, and I quote, shall not be increased or diminished during the term for which he or she shall have been elected or appointed, end quote. Cuomo and Hochul won re-election in November 2018. The resolution was passed the following April with the pay raises retroactive to January 1st, the day they began their new terms. The plaintiff argues that an Assembly and Senate joint resolution that raises these salaries cannot go into effect until January 1st, 2023, after the next gubernatorial election cycle. The Albany-based Government Justice Center is a fiscally conservative nonprofit. Its mission is to, and I quote, protect taxpayers from government waste, negligence, misappropriation, and other improper actions, end quote. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. Joel Shannon is reporting for USA Today. U.S. regulators are in the process of setting up a new three-digit number to reach a suicide prevention line, similar to 911. Once the process is completed, U.S. residents will be able to call 988 for help in a mental health emergency. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline currently uses a 10-digit number, 800-273-TALK. Dwight Holton, CEO of Lines for Life, a suicide prevention nonprofit, said, and I quote, "The three-digit number is really going to be a breakthrough in terms of reaching people in crisis," end quote. A December 12th press release from the Federal Communications Commission announced that formal rulemaking on the 988 number has begun. The FCC proposal requires all telephone service providers to commodity the 988 number within 18 months. And you can read the full story in USA Today. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website. WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a wind advisory for the WGXC listening area through 7 p.m. Sunday, December 15th, as high winds are expected with gusts as high as 41 miles per hour. There is a slight chance of rain and snow showers during the day Sunday with a high near 38. Sunday night should be colder with a low around 19 and breezy with more winds. Monday, there's a slight chance of snow after 1 p.m., otherwise it'll be partly sunny with a high near 32. Then Monday night, snow is expected overnight, sometimes sleet with a low around 25. Tuesday, snow and sleet is expected before 1 p.m., then it may turn to rain and sleet with a high near 33 degrees. Low around 20 on Tuesday night as the snow continues. You're listening to the radio WGXC 90.7 FM Acre, Catskill Hudson, radio for open ears. There's lots to listen to on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM, and there's even more to listen to at WGXC.org or go to wavefarm.org/listen for all sorts of live web streams. Monday, December 16th, WGXC is live from Experimental Intermedia in New York City with its 2019 December performance series with Wael Castro Pinto and Sofia A. Carvalho. Then on Wednesday, December 18th at 6:30 p.m., WGXC is live from the town of Catskill with the Catskill Town Board meeting at 6:30 p.m. Then at 9 p.m. back at Experimental Intermedia in Manhattan with Andrea Parkins performing. Thursday, December 19th, you can tune into another show from Experimental Intermedia in New York City with Annabelle Pla performing. That's at 9 p.m. also. Friday, December 20th, there are three different live web streams. At noon, the Hudson Development Corporation meets, and there'll be a live web stream of that meeting. 7 p.m., live from High Low in Catskill, Brian DeWan's annual Christmas show is on. tune in at wavefarm.org/listen or go to WGXC.org, click on the listen button. Also, at 8 o'clock on Friday, December 20th, live from the Avalon Lounge, Brian Cantor's Sleigh Ride, Donnie De Niro, The Wild Weeds, Will Lawrence, and Darian Rectangle perform on a fundraiser for the Catskill Community Center. Then Saturday, December 21st, it's Christmas time. At 4 p.m., tune in to a live webcast and broadcast from the First Presbyterian Church in Hudson of the Shepherd's Play, annual Christmas tradition from Camp Hill, Hudson. At 6 p.m., tune in to another Christmas tradition, Unsilent Night from Phil Klein. This year it's at Art O' My in Ghent and on the radio at 90.7 FM and with a live web stream at WGXC.org and wavefarm.org/listen. Finally, Saturday, December 21st, there's another live web stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, this one with Homebody performing. Lillian Hornhorse is also on the bill with Emily Ritz and DJ Neva. Then on Sunday, December 22nd, Wesley Harper plays the entire soundtrack to the Charlie Brown Christmas show live at Hilo in Catskill at 11 a.m. and with a live webcast at WGXC.org and wavefarm.org/listen.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Sunday, December 15th, the December installment of Invisible Cities features performances by Machine Savage and Bob Lukomsky at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill at 7 p.m. with live web stream on WGXC.org. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting WGXC.org/calendar.
Aunque no me mires, yo lo sé. Tú llegaste pa' inspirarme en mis canciones. Aunque no te toque, te besé. Te vete por siempre y pa' volar de noche. Sobreviviendo a punta de fe. Y en el café, nada que contarle a mis amigas. Si tú eres solo para mí y yo pa' ti. Thank you.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Lena, and I go to school at MC Smith Intermediate School, I think it's called now.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love.
Books we don't love quite as much. Or bookish. Despise with a passion.
Yeah. Or bookish things.
All that good stuff. And we're usually here with our friend Amelia.
Yes.
She's not here today.
Yeah.
But shout out to Amelia.
Yes.
She's great.
Yeah. Last time she was doing the Honorable Society, I think.
Oh, yeah. The Honor Society.
Yeah. She's too honorable.
She's too honorable for us.
Yeah.
We're so dishonorable.
Well, I wouldn't say that I'm dishonorable.
I don't know. Are you in the Honor Society?
No. That's because I'm a kid.
Dishonorable.
No, I honor my friends.
What if we're all dishonorable if we're not in the Honor Society?
Then,
did you ever think of that?
Well, you don't have to be in the Honor Society. Mm-hmm. You just have to be honorable.
Anyways, we're proud of Amelia that she's in the Honor Society. And that she is so honorable that she can't make it to radio sometimes.
Yeah.
But I like to joke, like, why does she have to be so honorable?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
So we're hoping she's reading some great books while she's away from us.
Yeah.
Have you been reading anything recently?
Well, I read a few things recently.
Like what?
Like my friend Nevaeh's comics.
Ooh. That's cool.
Yeah.
What are they about?
They're about a game called Meep City. And
what's Meep City?
It's like where you can dress your character up if you don't have any Robux and make it look like you have some, even though you don't.
Hmm.
And there are new hairstyles, and like you can make customize your house. You can get a Meep. You can customize your Meep. You can
so a Meep's like a little person?
No, a Meep. You know Club Penguin? My sister and brother compared it to Club Penguin. It's like a knockoff of Club Penguin is what they say. Even though Meep is like a ball with eyes, a smiley face, and it can be any color. Except you have to be a plus to get any color. You only get, like, basic colors if
is it a free game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Roblox is a free game.
No, but the Meep City thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some games you have to use Robux for, which you can't earn. Every single time you play a game, you have to actually pay for Robux.
Like, you have to pay it with real money?
Yes.
Oh.
And I'm sad.
Yeah.
And another one that she did was about Flee the Facility.
Which you wrote a comic about, too.
Yeah.
And that's a Roblox thing as well?
Yes.
How is hers different than yours? Are they very similar?
They're similar, kind of. Except we have different twists and different normal ones that she showed me. It's like more of the classic one that I got this weekend from being, like, dumb because I didn't look into the chat. Because they said, Lena, don't come after me, because I was the last player. And what did I do? I came after Nevaeh. But the person who was doing that was a real camper.
Whoa.
I hate campers. And also in her newest comic, she revealed me in Juliana's hiding spot.
No!
Hiding spot was under the table since the beast can't get us.
That's a good hiding spot.
Yeah.
They can't, I guess, depending.
Yeah, they can't crawl, which is hard. So, in Meep City...
The beast?
Yeah. The beast can't crawl. They
poor
can
beast.
Only, they can be, like, a special member, which is, like, VIP. And they can have special stuff, but if you don't have Robux, then you only get one option, which is runner, which makes you go faster than the people. And I hate it whenever the beast is like, oh, you want to escape? And then they use runner on me.
Sounds rough.
Yeah. And they whack me, and I don't like being whacked.
That's fair. At least it's just a character.
Yeah.
Not real life.
Yeah, or else I would probably just die the instant that I see the beast.
Just faint?
Yeah.
Pass out?
Yeah, I forgot what the word was. Hmm. In Meep City, like, it's just about her customizing her character. And
oh, in the comic she wrote about it?
Yeah, and her just, like, being explained how Meep City works, and then I teleport to her. And I didn't get to see the rest of the comic because she didn't show us the rest of the comic.
Secrets.
Yeah.
Will be revealed someday.
Yes. Someday, but not today.
Are you still doing Hudson Reads?
Yeah.
What have you been reading in that?
We're reading, I forgot what it was called.
What's it about?
It's about these kids solving a mystery. It's a Jigsaw Jones one.
Hmm.
And there was a medal that went missing.
A medal?
Yeah.
Like like an award?
Yeah, medal? A medal award, because, like, there's this girl named Rain who made a contest, and I love the joke about Rain in the book. The joke about Rain is, does she have a sister named Partly Cloudy?
Wah, wah.
I think that's actually really funny and ironic. So, basically, they're trying to solve this mystery. They think that Solovsky stole the medal award thing, but my first suspect is the ferret in the pet store.
A ferret? That'd be cute.
Yeah.
He has, like, a secret stash of medals and shiny things.
Yeah, because ferrets are like, ooh, shiny, and then they take stuff like that, right?
I don't know. I haven't known that many ferrets.
I'm pretty sure, like, most ferrets do that.
But it seems like something they would do.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of little creatures do that.
Yeah.
They, like, store up.
Like mice or squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
Or other stuff. So, yeah.
That's cool. I'm curious who it'll be.
Yeah.
Is the suspense killing you? Or are you doing okay?
I'm doing okay. Because I just can do okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've been reading on far ends of the age spectrum. So I've been reading adult fiction and picture books. Lately.
Can I know about the picture books first?
Let's see. I've had a bunch in the past week or so.
Wow.
Yeah, I read a lot, and I read a lot of picture books, as you know. So far this year, as of today, which we're recording on Monday, December 9th, I've read 573 books this year.
Oh my god.
And that includes picture books, hence the large number. What are some of my favorites? There was a really sweet one called Waiting for Winter by Sebastian Meschenmoser. I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right. I'd read a different book by him that I really liked, which the name I'm forgetting. But it's about the same characters, which are all woodland creatures. There's a squirrel, a hedgehog, and a bear. And the other one was set in, like, spring or summer. And this one is right before winter, and these animals have just learned about snow, and they want to, like, stay awake to see the snowfall. Oh. So they, like, are trying to stay awake to see the snowfall, but they've only had a verbal description of snow. So they know it's supposed to be white and soft and shiny, but they don't really know what it looks like. So they go around looking for it in case maybe, like, winter has already started. Maybe the snow already came, and they go around looking for it. And it's funny what they find that they decide is snow before the snow actually comes.
Okay.
I'll give you one spoiler. The hedgehog finds a toothbrush. And he decides that that is snow. And then he pictures all of these toothbrushes falling from the sky.
Oh my god.
So that one's really cute. And it's a fun, like, winter read.
Isn't it called Waiting for Winter?
Mm-hmm. Because they're waiting for winter.
Oh, it kind of made me think of Welcome Comfort that we just read today.
Hmm.
And do you want me to tell you about
Sure.
it? So it's about this boy named Welcome. And another part of his name is Comfort, and he's being bullied because his name is Welcome, and also they're like, what kind of name is Comfort? And, like, they're...
It's a very nice name, actually.
Yeah, and that was really mean, like, it's like saying, what kind of name is Emily?
Like, what kind of name is Emily?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like saying that. And he was, like, real chubby, and they're like, oh, you're real chubby. And there's this man who I can't remember what his name was, but we'll call him Mr. Q.
Because why not?
Yeah, and also his name starts with a Q, or it sounds like a Q. I forgot what his name mm-hmm. was. So he's also chubby, too. And so, like, he was friends with Welcome, and it was starting, and people were bullying him. And it was, like, close to Christmas because it's a Christmas story. And so he's, like, really sad, and he's like, Santa Claus isn't real. And my first, I'm not going to tell you what my first thing I thought you about was.
Okay.
So Mr. Q was like, really, because Santa Claus is real?
Obviously.
And he's like, well, I don't think so. We all know that Santa Claus isn't real. It's like kind of what he was saying. And he's like, but then who leaves down the presents?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's just lost hope. And he's like, well, I don't get any presents any year that I've had a family. And I actually feel bad. And this is the part that I didn't tell the listeners. Welcome actually doesn't have any, like, his actual parents. He's actually a foster child. And he has to go to so many foster homes. And he's like, even if Santa was real, he couldn't even find me since he's moving from foster mm-hmm. home to foster home. And so Christmas comes. Mr. Q has to pack up to go north. And then he leaves. He keeps on waking up on Christmas Eve, on the night, like, where it turns into Christmas Day. And he's like, Santa Claus is real, Santa Claus is real. And then he wakes up, and he sees Santa Claus. And I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm not going to continue okay. telling the story because it has spoilers, kind of.
We do like to avoid those.
Yeah.
I can tell you about another one of the picture books I read.
Yeah.
That was very nice. I'm always curious what age range some picture books are for, because there's such a range of content in them. And this one has some more serious issues in it. So I think it could be for a wide range of ages, but definitely has some sensitive material that parents would want to read it with their kids and, like, be ready for some tougher discussions. It's called The Phone Booth in Mr. Hirota's Garden, and it's by Heather Smith and Rachel Wada, does the illustrations. And it's based on a true story, although it's not an exact story, like the names are changed and everything. So the exact parts of the story are not the same. But there's a young man named Makio, and he lives next door to Mr. Hirota. And both of them experience a great loss as a result of a tsunami that comes and takes away Makio's father and Mr. Hirota's wife. And so Mr. Hirota, as a way of coping with the loss of his wife, builds a phone booth in his garden that has a phone, but that's not plugged into anything, so it's not a functioning phone. And he uses the phone booth as a way of communicating to his lost wife. And so Makio starts doing that as well, communicating with his father, and other people in the village also go there to talk with their lost ones.
So, like, is it a public? Wait.
Well, it's on his property, but he allows people to come and use it. And it's based on the story of a man. Let me see. Yeah, it's inspired by the true story of the wind phone in Atsuchi, Japan, which was created by artist Itaru Sasaki. He built the phone booth so he could speak to his cousin who had passed, saying, "My thoughts couldn't be relayed over a regular phone line. I wanted them to be carried on the wind." The Tohoku earthquake and tsunami in 2011 destroyed the town of Otsuchi, claiming 10% of the population. Residents of Otsuchi and pilgrims from other affected communities have been traveling to the wind phone since the tsunami. And it's a really beautiful picture book. The illustrations are gorgeous, and it's just a very nice message. And it makes you, if you've lost anyone you cared about in your life, it makes you think about, like, what would you want to say to them, and how do you communicate with them when you want to, or do you? So it's a beautiful book. Again, it's, you know, sensitive subject. Because there's a time in our lives where we don't realize what death is, and, you know, that people can be taken away sometimes in the spur of a moment. Mm-hmm. But a very nice book.
Emily, I can hear you wanting to cry.
Oh, okay. No crying on the radio.
Yeah. And also,
can I tell you about one other beautiful picture book?
Yes.
That I thought was very interesting. It's called The Thing About Bees, A Love Letter by Shabazz Larkin. And it's an interesting book that's like an informational picture book about bees. But it's not just informational. It has like sort of a storyline to it and characters. But the author of the book and the artist, who he does the illustrations as well. So he created the book because he's terrified of bees. And he's found in his life that his way of dealing with his fear is to like learn as much as possible about the thing he's afraid of. And he didn't want to pass on his fear of bees to his kids. So he made this picture book meant for kids that's talking about bees and things to know about bees and like which ones to leave alone.
Okay.
What to do if one of them stings you.
Oh. I think I need to show this to Nevaeh because she's scared of one tiny little bee.
And bees are important, too.
Yeah.
So it talks about that as well. There's like sort of an appreciation for bees within this text, but then there's also like this. Sometimes they can be rude. So it says, sometimes bees can be a bit rude. They fly in your face and prance on your food.
Yes. And not to mention, once I went to church and they were having a special event, I got a soda, I left it open, and one giant bee who was looking for sugar decided to go into my soda. It died in there. And I was sad because that meant I couldn't drink my soda anymore because the bee died in there.
Are you sure it was a bee and not like a yellow jacket?
Because sometimes,
because there's all different kinds of stinging creatures, and some of them look an awful lot alike, but some of them are different. And a yellow jacket looks kind of like a bee, but they tend to be a little bit more aggressive. And if like one stings you, you're likely going to get stung by another one. I once got stung by a lot of yellow jackets. Luckily, there was a big pool of water nearby, and I just jumped in. Ooh. And then took a lot of Benadryl or like allergy medicine.
Wait, you're allergic to bees?
I don't need like an EpiPen or anything, but I was like swelling up from all the stings.
Oh.
It was not fun.
Okay.
And one time I got stung by something where I was writing a letter to somebody on a little piece of paper, and then the wind blew and it caught the piece of paper and took it away from me. And in midair, the piece of paper ran into some kind of stinging creature and hit it in the midair. And then I went to go get my piece of paper, and while I was getting my piece of paper, it stung me.
Oh,
like
no.
I had thrown the paper at it or something.
It's acting
and I was
like,
come on.
Oh my God. It's acting like, hey, you threw this paper at me. Now I'm going to throw this book at you.
Sting, sting. Anyways, that one was really pretty too. So yeah, those are my top picture books recently. I also finished two of the adult fiction books that I've been reading for a long time, which I've already talked about on the show, so I won't talk about them again. But I finished The Roundhouse by Louise Erdrich, which was great, and Disappearing Earth by Julia Phillips, which was also great.
My question is, what were the series that you talked about that you read for a long time on the show? Like, we know it's Paper Girls without you read it.
Comic series?
Well, like, you told us that there was two books that you already told us about, like, two book series, I think.
Yeah, so one is The Roundhouse by Louise Erdrich, which is the story of a young man named Joe, whose mother comes home one day really shaken up and not herself, and it comes to light that she's been attacked, like, seriously attacked, and you know, the police get involved, but there's some complications because they live on tribal lands and there's some issues about like, where did the crime take place? Is it on tribal land? Is it on state land? Would we involve the federal government? And so there's some complications around that. And Joe isn't happy with the job that law enforcement is doing to try to figure out who attacked his mother and to, like, seek justice for her. And so he decides to team up with his friends and try to solve the mystery of who hurt his mother so that he can protect his family. So that was a very good book. The Roundhouse by Louise Erdrich. And then the other one I read is called Disappearing Earth by Julia Phillips. And that was a debut novel. And it's set in Kamchatka Peninsula of Russia, which is, if you think of where Russia is on the globe, it's the far eastern end of Russia and kind of like across the water from Alaska. And it centers on several characters, but in the first chapter, there's two young women. I believe they were 8 and 13. And they are out on the town, and a man convinces them to come into his van, and they are taken away.
Who convinces someone to go into their van, even if it's like, I have candy, your favorite candy, like Jolly Ranchers?
Well, I'm glad that you won't
fall
for this.
Like, even if they say I had chocolate, I'd say, prove it, and then...
You'd say, prove it, and then you'd get in the van?
No.
Maybe he did have chocolate.
No, they'd have to show me. I'd be at a safe distance to run, and then when they turn around so they can show me, I run away.
Mm-hmm.
So, boom.
And I'm sorry, they were 8 and 11. I double-checked. I fact-checked myself. I was thinking 8 and 13, but 8 and 11. And then the book goes through the year, so chapter by chapter it moves forward a month. But each chapter centers on certain individual, and it skips around on who it's covering, of different people that live on this peninsula and how their lives are in some ways impacted by this abduction that takes place in the first chapter. So one of the people it covers is a woman that witnessed the abduction but didn't realize what she was seeing until the girls were reported missing. And then there's the mother of the two girls. And then there's some other people that are more loosely connected. But it's a very interesting story, and it took me a long time to read, in part because I started listening to it on audio, and then the audiobook loan ran out, and so I didn't have that anymore. And then I got the book and was able to finish it. And we were talking about suspense earlier. The last chapter, which was very long, was so suspenseful that I stayed up really late finishing it, because it was, I just had to know what happened in the end.
Yeah.
But it was an excellent book. And it both makes you want to go to Kamchatka and not to go to Kamchatka.
Yeah.
So it's hard to want to go somewhere where, like,
where
bad things,
like,
happen to people.
Yeah, or
but
where
it looks
a book
like a. I looked up pictures of the peninsula, and it looks really beautiful.
I forgot where a peninsula was.
I can show you a picture on a map.
Is a peninsula a peninsula?
A peninsula is a peninsula.
I'm very smart.
How did you know? So the definition of a peninsula is a piece of land almost surrounded by water or projecting out into a body of water.
Oh, so it's basically like Florida.
Yeah. Our listeners could also look up Kamchatka Peninsula if they so choose to see beautiful pictures of this wonderful, beautiful land.
Emily?
Lena?
Have you ever been to the Bermuda Triangle?
I'm there right now. No, I've never been to the Bermuda Triangle.
Have you ever heard about it?
Mm-hmm. But I know very little about it.
I know a lot about it.
What do you know?
So I know that...
Oh, we don't have time to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, we're over the time. But anyways...
I'm sad.
Yeah, look who's crying now.
Wah. I cry into the mic.
But we hope everyone had a great week. Or has a great week. We hope everyone had a great week and continues to have a great week.
Yes.
And reads lots of good books.
Yes.
Or bad ones.
Yes.
But don't spend too much time on the bad ones unless you have to for homework.
Yeah. Or you could just spend time with cats.
Or that. Hope you all have a good week. Happy reading.
Happy reading.
Trouble. Yeah. All right. Set their tongues alight. All of your flavors can set fire alive. Very far from the regular levels are optimized. As we shine on that danger, please step aside. To dim the light, oh, many men have tried. In no me will lick, but no power.
suits my spec. You're filling me, I suspect. Love me like you know I'm the best. Cause you know I'm not no average girl. When we align, it's draw blue. Soon as the girls organize, it's draw blue. They know I guarantee the man. So draw blue. And if by chance you're in the way, oh, you knew, you're in trouble.
WGXE welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXE, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXE and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXE. 518-291-9492.
Hi, my name is Maddie.
And I'm Serena.
Here's the Catskill News. Our Catskill basketball teams are amazing.
Oh my goodness, Hudson.
Yeah, we crushed Hudson.
Both JV and varsity.
So impressive. We're amazing.
Get your holiday doors done, everyone. We will be voting on Thursday on Google Classroom.
This Wednesday, December 18th, our student government will be organizing and packing the food for families from Santa's Helpers. They're hoping that some staff might be willing to do some deliveries of food for families that don't have a means to pick up their food. Packages will be ready just after noon, so please stop into the gym. We'll send you off on a delivery. Students will be doing all the sorting and packing of food packages, the same students that completed 3 shifts during our collection days.
Thank you again for your generosity, Catskill, especially during this special time of the year. The middle school and high school will both be hosting Spirit Weeks. Here are our days. Monday, Flannel Day. Tuesday, Blue in honor of Hanukkah. Wednesday, Snowman Day. Wear white and a scarf. Thursday, Ugly Holiday Sweater Day. Friday, Holiday Cheer Day. Holiday hats, socks, and colors. My favorite is always Ugly Sweater Day.
Our high school celebrated honorary recipients this past week. How important to celebrate our students' successes.
The Catskill production of Pippin, cast, and crew have been busy with rehearsals and set building. Here are the regular rehearsals for this upcoming week. Monday, full cast and choreo from 3 to 5 p.m. Tuesday, primary cast, Act 1 and Act 2 from 3 to 5 p.m. Wednesday, full cast and choreo 3 to 5 p.m. On Thursday, CHS chorus will be caroling during the school day, traveling to community locations, and concluding at the school campuses. What fun!
If students are interested in participating with Odyssey of the Mind 2020, please see Miss Daly. She is a coach for the high school OM team.
Matt Rivenberg has been working hard to report the Capital Project progress. Here is his third report.
Catskill Central School District Superintendent Dr. Cook with business manager Mr. Jiminick introduced the construction team at a recent faculty meeting. The meeting was held to inform teachers and staff about the upcoming facility work that will be done through the Capital Project. Initial phases of the project were outlined as well as the overall timetable. Safety for our students and staff is the first concern for our district. This meeting gave teachers and staff the opportunity to see the planning and ask questions about room assignments and discuss the process of planning for the Capital Project.
So moving the project forward means that there has to be a lot of communication. You need to know what are the different phases of the project, how it will affect this campus, and how it will affect you personally, because that's very important. So before the shovels hit the ground in September of 2020, We want to give you an overview.
It was a very important meeting that helps keep our teachers and staff informed and involved in the project process.
This campus, the high school and middle school campus, will be undergoing over the first phase of the project. There's two phases altogether. Two additions at this building specifically. One of that being the new gymnasium, which is on the northwest end side of the building, and the new nurse addition, which is just south of us. Those two projects will be going underway starting the summer of 2020.
This meeting is just another example of how our district continues to keep this process transparent and our community informed. The Catskill Central School District management team is working hard to keep this project on time and on budget. This is Matthew Rivenberg reporting on the Capitol Project.
Thanks, Matt. Keep up the good work.
Check out our weekly Catskill News Radio show that broadcasts on 95 and WGXC on Saturday mornings. Every week, we plan and organize this new broadcast as well as the radio show with host Emily Kirch, Rachel Mashek, with Matt Rivenberg as a guest host. Just another community program provided by our Catskill broadcasting team.
The CTA held their 7th annual 5K run-walk event this past Saturday. They again raised close to $4,000 for their local food pantries in our district. We have some leftover long-sleeve shirts. Sizes go from small to extra large. If you would like to buy one, the cost is $10. Please see Mr. McAleen if you are interested. Thank you to our teachers for practicing what we teach.
Seventh annual Run for the Claws. It's important to tie in with the community to help the food pantries, the three different food pantries in town, to make everybody's Christmas a little bit brighter.
We feel that it's important to be here because we feel that it's very important to support our community during the holiday time.
We have a unique opportunity to bring our colleagues together. The CTA does an awesome job every year, as you can see around you, all the volunteerism, and it's all for a good cause.
To give back to our community.
The January region schedule is out. Please mark your calendars and get ready, Catskill.
The Yearbook Club is looking for business or personal ads for their 2020 yearbook. These ads help keep the cost down for our students and is also great for advertising. If anyone would like to place an ad, please contact Ms. Maggio in the high school guidance.
The annual PTSO flea market and craft fair will be Saturday, April 4th, 2020 from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Catskill High School. Student and community nonprofit organizations will not be charged a vendor fee. This event has proven to be a great opportunity for student clubs to fundraise as well as students to accumulate community service hours.
Save the date. The Interact Club is having its annual Martin Luther King Jr. March for Peace and Justice on Thursday, January 16th at 5:15 p.m. Students, faculty, staff, and community members are invited to join the march that begins at the Second Baptist Church on Main Street at 5:15. The march will proceed to the courthouse and then to the high school for the program.
Check out the holiday concerts hosted live on our Catskill News YouTube page. All three concerts will be broadcast live and available for future viewing. Hope, happy holidays, Catskill.
What's up, Catskill? It's Alana back with your weather. Today will be 40, rainy, and the lowest we'll get is 36. Saturday will be also rainy, and it will be 48, and the lowest it will drop is a 39. Sunday will be cloudy, and it will be 44, and the lowest it will drop is to 29. Now let's speak of this game. Yeah, so the Hudson vs. Catskill game was like the best game I've ever watched. Sitting back saying, let's go, is the best part about it. We also won our trophy back, so goodbye.
What a dominant start to the season for our winter athletes, highlighted by our play on the hardwood. Both Lady Cats and boys opened their season winning big. Both programs look to continue to dominate. I suggest getting out and seeing both programs perform. They really are entertaining. Now to your upcoming schedule. Monday, our Mod basketball teams are home against Maple Hill. Tuesday, our Lady Cats host Taconic and our Bowlers host Maple Hill. Wednesday, our boys basketball team travels to Taconic Hills. Our Lady Cats host Ravenna and our volleyball team travels to Greenville. Thursday, Mod teams host Ichabod and wrestlers host Carroll. We finish the week off with basketball teams all facing Greenville here at Catskill. Game starting at 4 p.m. with the finale at 8:30 p.m. What a fun night of hoops at Catskill. That's it for sports. Come out and support our Cats. This is Ricardo with your Catskill Sports Report.
Why did the cookie go to the hospital?
Why?
Because he felt crummy.
Okay.
Thanks for watching Cats Can and Cats Will.
That was so bad.
That was so bad.
This is WGXC's Congressional Report, tracking votes, words, and actions of Representative Antonio Delgado, a Democrat from Rhinebeck representing the 19th Congressional District, and Paul Tonko, a Democrat from Amsterdam from the 20th Congressional District. The 538.com website reports that so far, the first-term Congressperson Delgado votes with Donald Trump's positions 3.5% of the time. Since Democrats took over the House of Representatives, Tonko also votes with Trump's positions 1.8% of the time. In the previous congressional session, Tonko voted with Trump 22.6% of the time.
Representative Antonio Delgado, a Democrat from Rhinebeck, voted for the National Defense Authorization Act, while Paul Tonko, a Democrat from Amsterdam, voted against on December 11th. The bill passed 377 to 48. Both Delgado and Tonko were on the conference tasked with reconciling the differences between the House and the Senate versions of the NDAA that complained about the lack of transparency in the discussions, writing an op-ed in the Times Union. They both were stymied by attempts to add additional provisions addressing PFAS contamination. Tonko explained his no vote, and I quote, "While the process to get here is far from what I would have hoped, I welcome the inclusion of my PFAS Right to Know Act to finally require polluters to report to the EPA and reveal where this contamination exists. This is an important step to help our communities and shows that had this been a more transparent process, we could have included additional measures," end quote. Tonko added, and I quote, "I am disappointed that the NDAA is not addressing PFAS pollutants with the urgency needed to safeguard our communities and the American people. For years, these forever chemicals have been entering our air and water, putting countless families at risk of exposure to these dangerous and potentially deadly pollutants. Democrats in the House have long pushed for Congress to take the necessary steps to protect our drinking water systems and work to restore the many towns, cities, and military bases that have already been contaminated," end quote.
Axios reported on December 13th that Representative Antonio Delgado was one of six House Democrats who attended the White House Congressional Ball December 12th, while the Judiciary Committee held a hearing on the articles of impeachment against the president. Delgado's staff did not respond to requests for comment. Just after that story came out, the Times Union reported that Delgado will vote for both articles of impeachment. The U.S. House is expected to vote to impeach the president this week. Representative Paul Tonko already announced he will vote for the articles of impeachment. Quote, "The facts are clear. President Trump has abused his power to get dirt on his political opponents," unquote, Tonko said in a statement. Quote, "His administration refused to hand over lawfully requested documents throughout impeachment proceedings. The articles of impeachment reflect these facts. It is our solemn and responsible duty as an equal branch of government to proceed with this constitutional check on presidential power, unquote. Paul Tonko does